Finally, Sean Hannity, live in Seattle, today at noon on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
I've been telling you all week long, the best article I've read on the issue of illegal immigration and so-called comprehensive immigration reform in a long, long time is from Victor Davis Hansen. From nationalreview.com, of course, Stanford University, historian, classicist, and author of The Savior Generals. Most important to this discussion, a fifth-generation Central California farmer. So he understands this issue literally at ground level, as well as intellectually. Victor Davis Hansen on the John Carlson Show. Hello, Victor.
Hello, John.
What has the response been to your piece, The New Children's Crusade? Almost everything we're told about illegal immigration is both a lie and amoral.
Well, I think people from the left sort of either contacted me or wrote about it pretty negatively, and then the Chamber of Commerce, Wall Street Journal, Nexus was not happy with it. But I think most people, Democratic and Republican, even Hillary Clinton said we shouldn't allow these 90,000 people who were sent here to have amnesty. I think most that issue is changing in the public mind.
Yeah, she did equivocate a little bit.
She did, absolutely. And I think most people are starting to see through this, that the people who are calling everybody nativist and xenophobes and racist are actually ethnic chauvinists who have taken upon themselves to define everybody who comes in the United States as immigrants, because we're not getting very many legal immigrants, and to the degree we are getting legal immigrants, they're not adjudicated by meritocratic criteria that are ethnically blind. The Latino caucus and their supporters and their sympathizers in business are basically saying we alone get to adjudicate who comes in the United States and under which conditions they do, and if you don't like it, you're a racist. And I don't think American people are going to put up with that.
Well, plus, you point out that if there's any race-based thinking here, it's not the opponents of illegal immigration. I mean, you don't hear complaints about immigrants from Africa or legal immigrants from Asia or from South America or Central America. The people who are race-based in their thinking are the advocates of,
absolutely,
quote, comprehensive immigration reform.
We have massive immigration from Asia and Africa. We have very little from Europe, and yet we don't hear a big outcry from the supposed races saying, let's get more Europeans in here. What they do say is, let's get people from all over the world that have one thing in common. They meet certain criteria that can help the United States. They may have a bachelor's degree or certain expertise or capital, but let's not just privilege one particular group south of the border and let them come under illegal auspices. So everything about this is upside down. I mean, the supporters of illegal immigration are destroying the lower and middle classes because of the influx of cheap labor. They're helping businesses who don't want them to unionize or, you know, don't want them to organize or don't want to pick up the social costs which they throw on the government. And Mexico has never been a friend of the United States. Mexico's facilitating this transit. And the way of Mexico's thinking is, we get $50 billion in remittances. When people leave Mexico, they like it better. They romanticize it. They become a powerful expatriate lobbying force. And you know what? We're sort of a racist nation, so we're getting rid of indigenous people from Oaxaca that we don't really want here. We don't help. We don't provide social services for. And yet, we're supposed to assume that Mexico is a great friend of the United States. In some ways, it's an inveritable war with the United States. And,
well, let me give you an example. In microcosm, this Marine, Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, who's been in a Mexican jail for 8 weeks now, 2 months, and a listener called the other day, Victor, and he said, can you imagine Canada doing this? That if he had taken a wrong way at the Blaine Peace Arch and ended up at the border crossing, that Canada would throw him in jail?
I live in ground zero of the illegal immigration influx in the Central Valley. In the last 6 months, the Fresno Bee has reported probably at least a dozen stories of Mexican nationals armed to the teeth that are bringing in liquid meth into the San Joaquin Valley, and they're growing dope on federal lands, which the Sierra Club otherwise would be outraged about, and they're all armed to the teeth. and no one is saying anything about it. And yet, this person didn't use his arms in any military or violent fashion.
Well, he disclosed
them. We're all in a period of recalibrating, and I think we've had this propaganda pushed down our throats. And what we really have to do is say, wait a minute, don't use moral terms against us. You people are amoral. You are ethnically chauvinistic. You are hostile to the United States in the case of Mexico. And you know what? What kind of parent takes a youth and sends them on their own up north? And what kind of country allows that transit? And what kind of country encourages it from their homeland? And what kind of administration allows those children to be used as pawns for political purposes? And they are the ones that are immoral, not the people who are trying to enforce the law and making it ethnically blind. We really got to use this argument in moral terms, because the people who are behind this are immoral, and they keep trying to change that and hide it and obfuscate it through these slurs and smears. But I think that your audience and most people in the United States should say, no more, it doesn't have any effect on me. You people are the ones that are morally culpable, not me.
I think, and again, this spans the parties, that especially among working class Americans who are striving for something better, they've been hammered so badly over the last 5 years, they look at illegal immigration, they say, hey, first of all, I obey the law, I play by the rules, they're jumping the line, and they want to be called immigrants.
I've been talking to a lot of my Mexican-American friends, or basically all my friends, because my community is about 90% Mexican-American. They pay the highest sales tax in the country in California, the highest income tax, and the highest gasoline tax. They're not for this at all. They say, we didn't do this. And as one said to me the other day, would you be angry if a bunch of white Europeans crowded and came across the border? And I said, absolutely. And just because I think that's why the Hispanic support for Barack Obama has dropped 25%. Now, they say it's because he didn't push amnesty, but I'm not sure that's right. He's been pushing amnesty for a year and a half, but his support is catastrophically declining among Hispanics of all people. And I don't think that if you poll a rank-and-file Mexican-American citizen, I think you'd see a 50-50 split on what's happening at the border right now.
Well, the second reason that Americans, again, across the board, I think, object to illegal immigration is not only does it reward lawbreaking, but it means a vast increase in people competing for jobs that Americans are struggling to get at less than great wages to begin with.
Yeah, you think that we were at World War II when unemployment was 2%. We were desperate for unskilled labor to win the war or something. In fact, we have the highest percentage of adults that are not working, looking for work in our recent history. So this just doesn't make any sense. I mean, we're bringing in people who have no expertise as far as technological skills or highly specific industrial skills, and they're going to compete against people who can't make it really in the service industries and low-wage labor, and we want to help those people. We don't want to cut their wages.
Victor, look at where the Democratic Party and liberalism has strayed. Cesar Chavez used to be a strong opponent of illegal immigration. The Democrats called themselves the party of the little guy, the working man, and they would oppose illegal immigration.
When I was in high school, there was a great controversy that UFW members from our community in Fresno County, led by none other than Cesar Chavez and his brother, went down to the border and protested and tried to forcibly be militia and keep people on the other side of the Mexican border, because American border, they did not want cheap labor that was encouraged by the big business to come in and undercut their wages. We're a long way from that.
Boy, the original Minutemen.
Yeah, they were the original Minutemen. They gave the idea to the Minutemen. Of course, they would be deemed racist today. This is a surreal world when we have one of the biggest lobbying organizations for open borders is called the National Council of La Raza. Can you imagine any other group that would say, we're going to identify ourselves as the National Council of the race, not race, the race, meaning the superior race.
And nobody. That's what La Raza means in English.
Yeah, this is a society that we're going after the Redskins' name. We go after every supposedly illiberal nomenclature, and then right in front of the whole thing in the greatest debate of our age, we have a group called the National Council of La Raza, and nobody says a word. the most racist nomenclature you could imagine. It'd be like some a German group saying we're the National Council of Das Volk. Would anybody allow that? I don't think so.
And Victor, the third reason why I think a lot of Americans object to illegal immigration across the board, again in everyday America, is that they know it means another wave of illegal immigration.
It's human nature, isn't it? If you get the news back that this country has so little faith in its own values that it doesn't even enforce its own border, and it gives instant recognition, at least of residency, then you're going to go as well to it. And it's sort of a crisis in values. Americans don't really think we're exceptional. We don't have a particular country. They don't ever ask themselves, why are millions of people leaving Oaxaca province and millions of Americans are not heading toward Oaxaca province? What is it about America that draws these people? We never ask these questions, and what can we do to maintain it so that it doesn't erode and we end up like every other country? But we've lost that sense of national identity, national purpose, national confidence. And, you know, once a society says, law A, I'm not going to obey, but law B, I might sort of, maybe, and law C, I will, you can't, if the president's not going to enforce the immigration laws, he's not going to enforce tax law, traffic laws.
Right. The health care law?
Absolutely, and that's where we're headed, sort of a third world fiat that on any given day an administrator will say, I like this law because it conveys social justice, I think, and the other law doesn't. It's illiberal, so I'm not going to enforce it.
Oh, and
by with immigration.
And speaking of complying with laws, by the way, I can't because my computer crashed and all my emails disappeared.
It's connected, isn't it? This immigration is a metaphor for what we're seeing with the health care law, the IRS, and our foreign policy, that there are certain laws and statutes that this administration was sworn to uphold, and they find them illiberal or they don't convey a sense of, I don't know, progressive thought, so they're decided.
My guest is Victor Davis Hanson here joining me. Wrote an outstanding piece, The New Children's Crusade. Almost everything we're told about illegal immigration is both a lie and amoral. You can, we've got it linked at KVI.com. That's KVI.com. Victor, maybe, though, the pendulum is beginning to swing the other way. They haven't been able to push an amnesty bill, comprehensive immigration reform bill through Congress. And that race in Virginia where Eric Cantor was taken out by a college professor who stood absolutely opposed to amnesty may have changed some minds.
I think so. I think I've probably read 500 pages on Eric Cantor's race, and I've seen every excuse in the world by Republican grandees and liberal activists to suggest it had nothing to do with immigration. And at the end, it had everything to do, because two things happened. Cantor got more and more vocal and confident on his support of amnesty, and the news every single day was more dreary and scary from the border with this children's crusade. So it did have something to do with it. And then the candidate, Bratt, was very brilliant in the way that he discussed illegal immigration. He turned the moral tables on his opponents and said, I'm not xenophobic. I'm worried about Americans of the lower and middle classes that need a shot at economic opportunity, and I don't want these grandees in the Republican Party to forget about them. And it was a populist argument. It was a moral argument, and it resonated, and everybody's trying to deny that argument because they're scared stiff of it.
And, you know, it really shows that we're not only divided left and right in this country, but coming around to what I began with, Victor, we really have an elite America and an everyday America.
Oh, we do, and we're seeing it in the Republican Party, this elemental hatred of the so-called Tea Party or populism. Every issue, whether it's fracking or Keystone or immigration or fiscal policy, has a populist element. And one of the reasons the Republican Party has not done well, they don't say, we need to have Keystone so somebody with a used car can afford to get to work. And we got to stop these Sierra Club people because they're elitist. And they're up in the cupola, and they brought the trap door, and they close it, and they don't want anybody to come up to their exalted status. But they don't make that argument. You and I know that John McCain would have been a better president than Barack Obama, and Mitt Romney probably would have been a much better president, but they were easily caricatured as wealthy elites of a particular class, and we can't afford to do that. We need to get somebody who's talking about middle-class issues and exposes the elitism of the Democratic and liberal progressive movement.
So in the minute we have left, people say, okay, we know what you don't like. What would you do when it comes to illegal immigration?
Well, the first thing I do would have a commission and say, we're not letting in, we're going to close the border, and we're going to finish the fence. And then when we find out that there's no illegal immigration, then we're going to go through the 11 to 15 to 20 million people who are here. We're going to deport anybody who's not working on public assistance, anybody who just arrived within the last 2 years on the scent of amnesty, and anybody who's committed a felony or a DUI. And we'll probably lose 2 or 3 million people. Then with the other people who have been working and have not been on public assistance and have not committed a crime, then we're willing to say, here's a path that you can work toward residency. It requires English language. It requires demonstrable skills, a work history. And we will allow you to apply for permanent residency without being deported. I think that's a pretty fair. But
first things.
We're not going to ever get there. We're never going to get there.
But
the border
is key.
Closed. And it has to be tied with legal immigration. We have to say, you know what? Family ties are not going to cut it anymore. We're going to redo legal immigration, and we're going to finally make it ethnically blind. So if a Nigerian scientist or a South Korean techie wants to come in with skills and capital, I'm sorry, he's going to have preference over somebody who's got no eighth grade education from Guatemala. It's just going to happen. If you call me a racist, that's tough. I don't care. But you're the racist because you're trying to deny people with skills coming in America based on their race.
And
you
what
really
should,
need to say that.
And what should Republicans do about the border crisis now with the border children?
I think they're going to have to make this argument that you and I have been talking about, and they're going to have to be very, I mean, we can, boy, if we're flying people into Massachusetts or New York, we can fly them back to Central America. We should get them clothed, get them new clothes, give them food packs, give them lunches, and send them back.
Reunite them with their families.
Absolutely. Right. Immediately. And then close the border.
Victor Davis.
Air into Mexico and let Mexico, who facilitated this transit across its own homeland, let it know what we think of it.
Victor Davis Hanson. Again, the piece is linked at our website, KVI.com. The New Children's Crusade. Almost everything we're told about illegal immigration is both a lie and immoral. Always great having you here on KVI. Thanks, Victor.
Thank you for having me again, John.